Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape CD of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Today's service managers need all the help they can get in this highly competitive world we're living in. The days of simply sending the text out when the phone rings are gone. Today's service manager and or owner needs to have performance information at their fingertips in order to run a truly profitable department. This month, Tom Grandy, the founder of this tape series, is going to share with us the 15 key performance indicators that are necessary to watch and control in order to ensure the service department's profitability. You will no longer have to guess what to track. The task, after listening to this tape, will be knowing how to track it. We'll have a few suggestions at the end of the tape as well. Now find a comfortable chair and listen carefully as Tom shares what is necessary to track in your service department in order to be profitable.
Hello, and welcome to today's presentation on the 15 key performance indicators that every service manager and/or owner needs to track. But first, let's talk about flying. I've traveled hundreds of thousands of miles in the air over the past 16-plus years while training over 14,000 contractors how to run profitable companies. But you know what? I've never actually flown an airplane. However, based on conversations I've had with a number of people who are actual pilots, I've been told that flying is actually relatively easy. I've been told the average person can learn to fly a small plane in a relatively short period of time. The basics are pretty simple. On a clear, sunny day with little wind, the new pilot can learn to handle the plane with ease after a few lessons. So why does it take so many hours of study and so many actual hours of flight time before a pilot is able to earn his or her official license? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. What if the normal perfect conditions change? What if a storm comes up? Fog sets in? The wind suddenly changes direction? Or there's a malfunction on the part of the aircraft itself? What then? It's learning what to do when things go wrong that takes so long to learn. There are lots and lots of what-if scenarios to prepare for. It takes countless hours of study and hours of actual flight time to know just what to do when the unexpected happens. When the unexpected does happen, the pilot doesn't turn to the passengers to ask them what to do. Instead, he or she quickly glances at all of those gauges sitting in front of him. Each gauge represents some aspect of the plane's condition and/or external weather situation. One gauge tells the wind speed, another the altitude. Then there's the fuel gauge, and lots and lots and lots of other gauges that I have no idea what they represent. But you know what? The pilot does. When the unexpected happens, the pilot quickly gathers as much information from the gauges as he can to see what's malfunctioning and in what way. And once the problem is diagnosed, the proper corrections can be made to bring the plane back on course. The service department of your company is a lot like an airplane. When the proper hourly rates are set, all the techs are technically proficient and show up on time, when the dispatcher calls ahead, and the parts are on the truck, guess what? The repair is relatively simple. All goes well. In a perfect world, the service department also has a steady stream of calls from customers each day, so the workload is even. And, of course, everybody pays on time. In this case, the running of a service department is a snap. A lower-level person with a minimum amount of training can run the department with ease and make a reasonable profit. All is fine and dandy until one or more of the above items change. When productivity and profits begin to fall, the service manager needs a lot of gauges to look at to feed him information in a timely manner so that he or she can make mid-course corrections. Notice I said in a timely manner. If the information on the pilot's gauges were not available until after he had landed, well, you know what would happen. The same goes for our service manager and or owner. Information that is available 15 to 30 days after the end of the month is of little value when you're trying to make mid-course corrections. The manager not only needs the proper information, he needs it in a timely manner. When the plane has hit the ground or the service manager's month is over, the best of information is useless. This month, we're going to look at the 15 key performance indicators that every service manager and or owner needs to fully understand and track in a timely manner in order to know their service department is on the proper profitability track. Before we begin, let me make one thing perfectly clear, or as you've heard in the past, read my lips. If the proper hourly rate is not set to begin with, the contractor can meet or even exceed every indicator we're going to discuss, while at the same time, he or she can be in the process of going out of business. Knowing what to charge is the foundation stone for profitability. If you're not sure what your rates need to be, consider attending one of Grandy & Associates' three-day basic business boot camps. Now, assuming your hourly rate is properly set, the 15 performance indicators we're about to discuss are both critical and non-optional. The bottom line is quite simple. Meet or exceed the indicators, and profits will increase. Miss the indicators, and profits will fall. It's that simple. So now we're going to go through the 15 key indicators. Key indicator number one. The first indicator is not really an indicator at all, but it's the basis for everything else. The first thing is to determine your expected billable revenue per hour. At first glance, that might seem like the same thing as your normal hourly rate. It isn't. The expected revenue per hour is the combination of the hourly rate, parts sold, the markup on the parts sold, plus a percentage of the trip or diagnostic charge if they apply. As an example, let's assume your hourly rate is $100 per hour. Your average parts cost per hour when you're doing service is perhaps $21. The average markup on those parts is usually around 100%, so that would be another $21. And some companies have a trip charge or perhaps a diagnostic fee if you're on flat rate pricing. Let's assume your diagnostic fee is $60, and it takes you 20 minutes to perform the diagnostic survey. If you added the hourly rate, the parts cost, the markup on the parts, and a third of your diagnostic fee, your expected billable revenue per hour would be $162 an hour. Simply put, the company needs to generate $162 in income for each hour billed to meet their profit goals. That goal, of course, is also based on billing out a certain number of hours each year. So now we have our first key indicator. We know what kind of revenue we should be generating per hour worked. Key indicator number two. The second key indicator is a term called billable index. Billable index. This number is determined by taking all the income over a given period of time and dividing it by the actual hours billed during the same period of time. If the number equaled our expected billable revenue per hour, if it came out to $162 an hour like we discussed a moment ago, our billable index would be 100 or 100%. Let's assume the total income for Joe for the month was $11,940. After looking at our records, we found out that Joe actually billed out 87 hours during the month. When we divide the gross dollars Joe earned by the total billed hours, we find Joe billed out at the rate of $137.24 an hour. To determine Joe's billable index, we take Joe's actual $137.24 and divide it by the goal of $162 per hour. And we find that Joe's billable index is 84.7. What's the billable index telling the service manager? It's telling us that Joe is underbilling the customer by an average of $24.76 per hour for work that was actually performed. Remember, Joe billed out 87 hours. So that means Joe underbilled the customer by $2,153.25 that month for work that was actually performed. It just wasn't billed out properly. The billable index is one of the most telling indicators we have, and it needs to be tracked daily. Key indicator number three. Our third indicator is the overall number of sales leads generated. The overall number of sales leads generated. A company's tech is in the client's home many times a day. Some clients have old equipment, and some have new or newer equipment. Of all the service calls performed during the month, the tech should be turning in at least 12% of their calls into serious sales leads for the office to follow up on. The normal tech performs about 100 calls per month. 12% of 100 calls would be 12 qualified sales leads per month, or about 2 qualified sales leads per week. Now ask yourself a question. What would even 4 extra sales leads per month mean to your company, assuming you have a 50% close rate? Well, if your average sale is $3,000, that would be an additional gross sales of $6,000 a month, or $72,000 per year. Doesn't it make sense to track sales leads by tech to see who's generating qualified leads and who isn't? Sure, it takes some effort, but with a $72,000 carrot in front of you, doesn't it make sense to track the numbers? Track your sales leads by tech. Key indicator number four. The next indicator to track is the number of sales leads generated from old equipment. The number of sales leads generated from old equipment. Of all the sales leads generated, 1/3 of the leads should be coming from what our company or your company determines to be old equipment. This indicator goes hand in hand with the overall sales leads tracked above. Of the 12 sales leads generated by the tech for the month, 33% of them should be coming from old equipment. Key indicator number five. Service agreements are literally the foundation stone for profitable growth in the 21st century. The next indicator deals with the number of new service agreements each tech should be selling. Of all the calls a tech makes to customers that do not already have a service agreement, 42% or more should be turned into service agreement customers. So key indicator number five is 42% or more should be turned into service agreement customers. Customers want service agreements. Customers need service agreements. If your tech is not selling service agreements to 42% or more of their customers that don't already have one, they're either not talking about them or they need more training in terms of how to present them. Track the percentage of service agreements sold by tech. It should be 42% or higher. Again, keep in mind service agreements are the foundation stone for profitable growth. Service agreements provide steady cash flow, additional service work during the year, and the eventual replacement of equipment. Service agreements are important, so take the time to track who's selling them and who isn't. Key indicator number six. The next indicator deals with the number of service agreements sold to customers with old equipment. The number of service agreements sold to customers with old equipment. The number we're looking for here is 12% or less. Why? Customers with old equipment should be candidates for replacement, not for service agreements. No more than 12% of customers with old equipment should be sold service agreements. Instead, those customers should become sales leads for replacement. Key indicator number seven. Now let's talk about repairs and accessories sold per hour while performing maintenance agreements. Again, key indicator number seven is repairs and accessories sold per hour while performing maintenance agreements. Techs should be looking for needed repairs and or useful accessory sales while they're performing service agreements. The key indicator we're looking for here is $25 per hour billed. That means for every hour billed on a service agreement call, the tech should be selling an additional $25 per hour or more in repairs or accessory sales. Key indicator number 8. Our next indicator is billable to non-productive hours ratio. Billable to non-productive hours ratio. This is the ratio of the number of billed hours to the number of non-productive hours. The ratio we're looking for here is 10 billed hours to 1 non-productive hour, or a ratio of 10 to 1. 10, 11, or more is fine, but the billed to non-productive should not drop below 10. Non-productive time is defined as manager applied time, which is any time the service manager pulls the employee from the field for any reason. Non-productive also includes unapplied time, which is simply time the tech did not account for during the day. It also includes no-show time, which is the time the tech spends waiting for the customer to show up. Key indicator number 9. The 9th key indicator is the repair completion percentage. The repair completion percentage. This indicator measures the percent of time the service call was completed on the original call. Techs with adequate training and properly stocked trucks should complete 95% of their calls on the initial visit. If the percentage falls below 95%, the service manager needs to track the reason. Was it due to lack of parts, and therefore the trucks are not properly stocked? Was it a lack of technical expertise, therefore additional training is needed? Or was it a lack of manpower? Additional physical help was required to complete the repair. The completion percentage can be a very telling indicator and should be accurately tracked each month. Again, we're shooting for a 95% completion rate. Key indicator number 10, percent labor to sales of overall time worked. Percent labor to sales of overall time worked is the next key indicator to be tracked. When you look at a P&L statement for service, the cost of goods sold, which is labor, materials, subcontractors, permits, merchant fees, etc., should not exceed 50% of gross sales. Labor should not be over half of that, or 25 cents of each sales dollar, in order to be consistently profitable. If the number is over 25%, it will significantly affect bottom line profitability. If it is under 25%, you're making money. To put things into perspective, every 1% above 25% goal results in a 2% loss of bottom line net profit. That's important, so let me repeat it. To put things in perspective, every 1% above the 25% goal results in a 2% loss of bottom line net profit. As you might have guessed, this number is very important to track. Key indicator number 11. The 11th key indicator is similar to the 10th. The 11th indicator to track is the percent labor to sales billed time. Percent labor to sales billed time. This category is similar to the one we just discussed, except it's based on billable time only, not maintenance time or maintenance dollars, and on the actual dollars billed the customer, not the total sales. In this case, the labor cost should be in the teens. The goal is for the percent of labor to sales to be less than 20 cents of the sales dollar. 20% would be the max that's acceptable with a goal of less than 20. This is a key indicator, as it is a direct measure of profitability. Because if a technician does not bill out fully and correctly while on billed service calls, which if you price correctly will result in billed labor time costing you 20 cents or less on the revenue dollar, then you will never be able to get labor to 25% revenue for overall time worked. Key indicator number 12. The next indicator is called goal from opportunity. Goal from opportunity. As we all know, service techs are often moved out of service to new construction, retrofit, or other departments. When the service tech is transferred to another department, the goal needs to be adjusted so that they're only judged on the time they actually worked in the service department. Their goal also needs to be adjusted for formal training time, for vacations, holidays, sick time, early off, and no work situations. Once the goal is adjusted, the tech should be able to reach the adjusted goal on a regular basis. The goal here is to work 100% of the time that is available, yes, available, to work in the service department. Less than 100% means time was spent elsewhere within the service department that prevented the service tech from hitting their adjusted goal. Once the tech's goal is adjusted, they should come close to hitting their goal each month, so the objective is to hit their adjusted goal 100% of the time. Key indicator number 13. The 13th key indicator deals with the percent of service calls to travel time. The percent of service calls to travel time. Each tech should use the same percentage of travel time as the number of calls made. The goal here is to have the two numbers be the same. If a tech has 35% of the total travel time, they should also have 35% of the total service calls during the month. If they're going to be off, the percentage of calls should only slightly exceed travel time by 1 or 2%. In no case should the tech have a higher percentage of travel time than percent of calls made. Key indicator number 14, callbacks. Callbacks. Callbacks are a part of life, but they should not be a significant part of life. Nothing is perfect, and parts will fail in any industry. Typically, the failure rate is about 2% or less. Part failure is a legitimate reason for a callback. Poor workmanship is not. Our next to the last indicator, number 14 here, is callbacks. The callback percentage we're shooting for is 2.5 to 2.75%. You can expect, suspect, assume, or even figure there's a workmanship problem if callbacks exceed 2.75% on a regular basis. Key indicator number 15. No discussion of business would be complete without saying something about cash flow. Our final key indicator, number 15, is entitled Residential Revenue Collected. Residential Revenue Collected. When the dispatcher calls the customer, they should be asking the customer how they're going to pay for the service call. The dispatcher should only give the homeowner three options of payment. The options are cash, check, or credit card. Being invoiced is not an option. Our goal for our final key indicator is for our service techs to collect on the job 95% of the time or more. A collections rate of 95% or more will be a real help from a cash flow standpoint. The 15 key performance indicators we just discussed are critical. As a matter of fact, the above indicators are both critical and non-optional. Like our airline pilot, our service manager and/or owner needs to know exactly what's going on at all times. Why? Sometimes mid-course corrections are needed in order to meet profitability goals. Now I can just hear what many of you are thinking. Okay, Tom, I agree. If we tracked all 15 things you just discussed, our service department would be extremely profitable. However, how in the world are we going to track those kinds of numbers? The point's well made. The above figures are not easy to track. Some company owners use an Excel spreadsheet to track some of these numbers. It can be done, but it's time-consuming, and few companies are able to capture this kind of information by tech in a timely manner. There is, however, a new tech productivity software program that does track the above information and a whole lot more. It's called ProfitMax. If you'd like more information on the program, simply give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. And we'd be happy to send you a free 20-minute overview of the program for your review. In today's technical and competitive world, pilots, as well as service managers and owners, must have timely and accurate data available to perform to the highest standards. If you want to maximize your service department's profitability, begin measuring the above items against the goals listed. One final thought. Don't forget that all key performance indicators we discussed are based on one huge foundation stone. That foundation stone is the development of the proper hourly rate to cover your overhead while generating a reasonable profit. Some companies know how to develop rates by department, and some don't. If you need help, give some serious thought to attending one of Grandy & Associates' 3-day basic business boot camps. As I close, please remember one thing. A house is only as good as its foundation. Be sure your service department's pricing foundation is strong, and then be sure to track the results in an accurate and timely manner.
You have listened to these presentations long enough to know that we would not define a problem without giving you the resources to correct them. This month is no exception. The 15 key performance indicators are all part of the new ProfitMax software program. If you would like additional information on the software, simply give us a call. We would be happy to send you additional information. As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day basic business boot camp continues to take the industry by storm. Tracking information and meeting goals is only beneficial if your base rates are set correctly. The boot camp does this for you. Note on the attached flyer, the boot camps are now being held at various locations across the country. For more information on ProfitMax and or our boot camp, simply call or write Grandy & Associates. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.